Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It is wonderful to be back with you this morning. Great to have Entourage Jazz here. I've been coming to Albuquerque doing stuff with congregations for the last, I don't know, about 7 years probably. And every time I would come to Albuquerque, no matter where I was going to go, Kristen would say, well, I hope we can figure out how to go see Entourage while you're here. And it's finally happened. Thank you, Pastor. It's great to be with you all. It's how exciting this last 6 weeks have been. As we celebrate this morning, building with hope and blessings. What an outlook that is, to say we are building with hope and blessings. We're moving forward knowing that we have the hope of Christ and that we can count on the blessings that God has brought to us and will bring to us in the future. This morning we step into that space where we know that God has a mission and we're trying to hop on that mission train. The mission isn't ours. We didn't make it up. We didn't guess at it. We didn't just, throw it to the wind to see what would happen. No, the mission is God's. And so our discernment, yours and mine, is to see where and how we fit into that mission in right here at All Saints, right here in this context. What is God up to in this place? What's God doing? What's God calling you to do? How is God showing up in this place? How will God use All Saints in the next 3 or 5 or 10 or 25 years? What's God up to here, and how do we catch on to it? Now, the text for today is this great Easter season text. It's Jesus speaking to the disciples. And he gives them both encouragement and he also gives them an admonishment. He's moving them along. He says, feed my sheep, tend my lambs, get going. But it all starts with Jesus at the beach. It's kind of a nice concept, isn't it? It'd be nice, Jesus at the beach. What are you doing this summer? I'm going to see Jesus at the beach. Jesus is doing the grilling. It's Jesus at the Barbie. Maybe he's got some shrimp. I don't know. But that's where they encounter him now, is on this beach. I mean, gone is the public spectacle and curiosity of Palm Sunday and Good Friday. And you think this is really not that long before, a couple of weeks. Gone are all of those folks who had covered the road with their palms and sung hosannas and all of the spectacle, all the things that had gone on. Who were willing to, they followed him because they believed that he could change the world and they were willing to place their hope in him. But now they were gone. Gone were those who had confessed him as Messiah, imagining that the reign of God would be bigger than what they had seen, bigger than simply political change. They were gone. Now who was left? Just a few. And they've gone back to what they knew before him. Peter says, I'm going fishing. Now, Peter was a professional fisherman, let's be clear. So it wasn't like he just decided he wanted a couple of vacation days. But nevertheless, he goes back to what he knows, right? He goes back, he says, I'm going fishing. This disciple stuff is making me a little crazy. I'm going fishing. And they said, we'll go with you. They're happy to go and put their nets out for a catch. And they put their nets out for a catch that's not simply, again, recreational, right? They put out a big net that where they can haul in a whole haul of fish. So they're interested in kind of moving back into their identity as fishers. And then as they're out there, they wonder, will we ever see Jesus again? What's going to happen? We've had this mysterious thing in the upper rooms. We saw him. Some people saw him twice. I don't know what's going on. Will he appear again magically? And all of a sudden, there he is on the beach. You see, the disciples want to know that Jesus loves them, that he cares for them, that he claims them as the shepherd who cares for the sheep. And they want to know, who is this Jesus really? Who is he? What's God going to do with us now? How do we follow a risen Jesus, a risen Christ? And they see Jesus by the fire. He's hanging out. He answers their questions at the fire while he's doing the grilling, cooking a few fish, right? Three times he asks his own question to Peter specifically. Peter, do you love me? Now, you may remember that Jesus had said to Peter on Good Friday, you know, before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times. And so here now is Peter's chance to kind of undo that, right? That's at least one level of this. He asks three times so that Peter can confess those three times and kind of wipe that slate clean, perhaps. But the question is more than just a bit of absolution for Peter. It's a much bigger question that's not meant for him only, but for everyone who would hear the story, everyone who would read the words. He says, do you love me? And Peter says, well, you know I love you. And then Jesus says, here's how you know. Now, he doesn't say that sentence, but he says, feed my sheep, tend my lambs. You see, when we confess that love for Jesus, it doesn't happen in a vacuum. When we confess that love for Jesus, when we confess our love for Jesus, Jesus says to us, wonderful, thank you. Now, be about the business of God's work. We don't do that because God's going to be happier with us or think we're wonderful if we do. We do it because Lord, you know I love you. We confess our faith, and so we put our faith to work. We talk a lot about, in Lutheran circles, about God's work in our hands. That's why we use that phrase. Because we're taking that mission of God that we just mentioned, and we're getting involved in it, leaning into it. So Peter says, or Jesus says to Peter, feed my sheep, take care of these, look after my children, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, minister to those in prison, care for the outcast. Love the unlovable. Now, I know you might be thinking, isn't he here today to talk about the campaign? Isn't he here to raise some money? Well, you're right. I am. But let's ask some deeper questions about what this campaign really means. Why raise money to fix up this campus? Why raise money to repair the wall or to put the new windows in or to make the HVAC work or any of the other pieces of this project? Why do all that? And if the answer is simply, well, to make us more comfortable and to make it pretty outside, then to paraphrase Paul, we of all people are most to be pitied. We're called to this campaign to be building with hope and blessings because of a crucial answer. And in fact, I have to be honest with you, it's the only reason I'm here with you. We are building with hope and blessings so that we can participate in the best possible way in the mission of God. And that we can do the things that God is calling us to do. Yes, everything we're updating is prudent and practical, to be sure. But the ultimate why of this campaign, the ultimate why of going through all of the last 6 weeks is to touch the lives of people who come near this community. It's members, it's visitors, it's neighbors, it's the daycare parents and the daycare children, it's the greater Albuquerque community. And if that's not why we're here, then we're wasting a lot of time and energy. But I believe it is the reason we're here today. The music and the food don't hurt either. But I believe that is why you are here today, because you want this congregation to take its place in God's mission, to do the things that God is calling you to do, and you're ready to take your place in this campaign in order to make it happen. Building with Hope and Blessings is a way that you can speak into the lives of people who wonder if they'll ever see Jesus today or at any time, who wonder if the hurt that they've felt at the hands of people who call themselves Christians is really what we're about, who wonder in this chaotic world where all of a sudden hate seems to be on the rise and people seem to not care for each other at all, to wonder in that moment if all this talk of grace and love and mercy is real. And here you are to proclaim that reality, to share that love. Now, many don't know much about him as we do, that Jesus changes lives through the Holy Spirit. Many don't know if there really is a God. But like the people on the road back away on Palm Sunday, they're willing to put their hope in Jesus. Are we willing to do the ministry it takes to bring that grace and love to them? Building with Hope and Blessings, this capital campaign allows you to make this campus ready for the ministry in this context, to reach out to your neighbors, to your neighborhood as neighbors who really care, and neighbors who love who where we are, love this context, and want to show it to our neighbors. It keeps money flowing even for staff and for ongoing ministries and all of those kinds of things, because it frees money from operations to do those long-term things that have to be done. It allows you to work together to bring Jesus to this neighborhood in a whole new way. And Building with Hope and Blessings calls you to grow too. So giving is a faith exercise. It is a practice. It is a spiritual practice as much as saying grace or reading your Bible or saying your prayers at night or whatever it might be. Giving is a practice. It is a spiritual discipline. It's what one writer calls a mark of discipleship. It's what we do. We give back. Giving is a faith exercise. It's the practice of giving your whole self. So today, as we get ready to do to bring up our commitment cards and all of that, today, I want you to think about this, about these things about giving. Giving is joyful. Giving is meant to be exciting and joyful, not drudgery, not obligation. Like, oh, I got to do what they told me I got to do. It's not giving your dues. It's none of those kinds of things. It's a joyful act of discipleship, and it funds the way we do God's mission. So today, I want to encourage you. You maybe came in morning thinking how much you were going to put on that commitment card, and good for you if you spent that time thinking and talking about it as a family. That's wonderful. But I want to challenge you just a little bit. What if you were to lean forward just a little more than that number that you had in mind when you came in here today? What if you were to imagine that God could do things through congregation as we do the work to make this place the way it needs to be in order to be that center of mission? What if you were to lean forward in that gift just a little more than you thought? And imagine what those gifts might do. Now, friends, we've all heard that phrase that, you know, we want you to give till it hurts. I don't want you to give till it hurts. I want you to give until it makes you smile. I want you to give until there is joy in what you're doing, and you say, this is so exciting. I can't believe I have this opportunity to share in God's mission in this place. Imagine what your gifts will do. Discern how God is at work in this congregation. So this morning, as you fill out your commitment card, exercise your faith. Now, we'll talk about how we're going to do the commitment cards in just a few minutes. But for now, be thinking about this. Let God guide you in your giving. Let God guide all saints into growing God's mission. Let God guide you in growing that beloved community by building with hope and blessings. Amen.